Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora, you're listening to Film Talks On Air. I'm your host, Jane Ross. I have a very special guest joining me today. Her name is Fiona Kaye. Fiona was just 12 when she starred in Vincent Ward's Vigil, playing a shy farm girl who retreats into make-believe. Ward interviewed over 200 children over many, many months before casting Fiona. She appears in almost every scene in Vigil, and reviewers have praised her faultless and remarkable acting and restless inner intensity. She joins me now. Kia ora, Fiona. Hello, how are you today?
Kia ora from Sydney. I'm very well, thank you.
I am so happy to be talking to you today. How's things in Sydney?
Oh, Sydney's great. Australia's been really good to me. I've been here since 93 and I love it.
Yeah, you've got family back here in New Zealand. I understand that you come back and visit from time to time, but I like the idea of having two places to call home.
Absolutely, yeah. All my family are there pretty much. Just me and my partner here.
Fantastic for settling into an exciting life, which we'll come to. I'm going to ask you about how things are for you in Sydney these days, but I wanted to step back and start with asking how you got into acting.
Well, Vincent Ward, that's the short answer. I had no experience of acting. I mean, I was 11, I think, when the audition process started. I'd done nothing. I came from a solo parent family in West Auckland. It was completely out of our scope. We knew nothing.
Wow.
I was just a normal kid. I just liked riding my BMX and climbing trees with my friends and, yeah, normal life.
How did you hear about the auditions?
So Vincent, I think he tromped around every school in New Zealand for quite some time just looking at people. And it was really odd because we were sitting in class. I was at intermediate school and he came in with the casting director. I think that was Diana. And they just stood and stared at everyone. And, of course, you don't know what's going on. And then they asked my name. I got called up to the office. Everyone said I was getting arrested.
Wow.
Because it was West Auckland. They're like, you've done something wrong. And there were a few of us got given an invite to go to an audition. And it was like a big cattle call, really. So that was, my mother was deeply suspicious.
Yeah.
She didn't know what it was. She didn't really want me to go, I don't think, but I talked her into it, as any child would. And off we went, and the audition process took months.
How many months?
I don't know. I think, we're going back in the mists of time here. Yeah. I'd say, 3 to 4.
Yeah, that sounds familiar from what I've read about the process. But, I mean, how were you feeling? Was this a mix of excitement and nerves or all of that contained?
It's funny because when I remember, I didn't really have any attachment to it. I loved it. I enjoyed it. It was fun because, acting as a kid is just drama exercises and learning new things, and that was really fun. And it came down to four of us, and we did an intensive week where we went in every day, 9 to 5, to work basically in the city, and worked with Maya Dalziel, who became my chaperone and acting coach. She's amazing. And Frank Whitten also came in, and we just worked solidly for a week. And so of the four, I was positive, like 10 million percent positive, that one of the girls, Belinda, would get the part. And I just did not think it would be me. And shout out to Belinda, because I hope that she went into acting, because she was phenomenal, like amazing. And she really wanted it. And I didn't have the attachment to it.
Yeah.
So I was really surprised when I got offered it.
Then I guess your whole life kind of changed. Like, you ended up moving for a time to a set in Urete in Taranaki for filming, or what then happened once you actually were given the role?
Look, I know that there was a lot of discussion that, before I was offered it, really, with Mum, between Mum and John Maynard.
Right, producer John Maynard, yeah.
Yes, and John is the reason that Mum allowed me to do it. Not that she didn't trust Vincent, but he was only young, and John was, you know, a similar age to Mum, and they got on really well, and so Mum trusted John, and that's why I was allowed to do it. So off I went at 12, just turned 12, to Taranaki, to the beautiful, wet, wild winter, full of mud.
Yes.
It was cold. It was, you know, it was hard in terms of the weather. And I'll tell you what, I don't miss the New Zealand winter.
Yeah.
But it was what I, you know, what I think really stands out for me is like that crew. I mean, the crew were fantastic. And even on like the hardest days, like you could see they really believed in Vince's vision.
Amazing.
And so everyone worked towards that vision. And, you know, Vince said to me, he said, you know, you make it and you don't know where it's going to end up or how it's going to be received. But I just feel that there was an energy on that set that people really worked towards an overarching vision. It wasn't just a job.
What were the challenges for you that you recall about being on set and acting in your first acting job?
I don't know. Like, I mean, Vince didn't make it feel like acting.
Yeah.
He would just talk me through things about how I should feel. It was about feeling. And it's interesting. I'll talk later about how that's played into my life nowadays. But it wasn't, the days were long and the weather was bad, but it wasn't, the acting itself wasn't hard. And, you know, Frank Whitten, he said to me, he was like, you know, if you believe what you're saying and other people watching, you will believe it too. Like that was, I think, all that I needed. And I loved it. You know, I loved it. It was quite isolating. I was the only child on set except for 3 weeks when the costume designer, Dennis Jackson's daughter, came to stay. And that was great. That gave me a little bit of fun, but then it was almost like back to work, you know. And I think that played into, you know, the isolated child living on the farm. I really was an isolated child living on a farm.
You were, yeah. You were really living and feeling it.
Yeah, and it was fun. And I think, you know, Vigil gave me the best work ethic. Like, I'm a workhorse. I can work 7 days a week, no problems. And I credit Vigil with that because it was hard work, but I really enjoyed it.
How did you feel, and Fiona? Sorry to interrupt. I was going to ask you how you felt about seeing yourself on screen.
That was interesting. I went and watched. They would have rushes every night, and I watched my first lot of rushes, and it made me feel really self-conscious. And Vince could see that, and he just went, "You're not watching them anymore." So basically, like when you clock off at the end of the day, you clock off, and that's it. And so I never watched them again. I didn't need to because he told me, you know, what to do. And if he was happy, then he was happy. Like he was in charge. I didn't care. And I did not see it until it was the first screening for cast and crew. So that was, I don't like watching myself on screen. It still makes me a little bit uncomfortable. And even in my business now, I don't do Instagram lives or anything like that. It makes me uncomfortable. So,
oh, I hear you.
Oh, just even now I'm like squirming in my seat going, oh, dear. So, yeah, seeing it was confronting, but also what I do remember, the first time I saw it, I immediately fell into the feeling, and so I felt I was sitting on the other side of the camera and I was in it again.
Yeah, wow. I have heard Vincent say to actors, if you can think it and if you can feel it, then I can see it. And it sounds like that's what you're describing. Yeah,
absolutely.
You got to see the feeling, which is incredible. I love that. I love that whole process. It really sounds really amazing and exciting and creative. You went on, Vigil just took off, didn't it? I mean, I don't know if anyone was quite expecting it to become what, like the reception that it got around the world. like the kinds of reviews and responses, and being the very first feature film to be selected to compete at Cannes was a really big deal. I mean, this film carries a lot of historical and cultural significance in terms of New Zealand cinema history.
Absolutely.
And the reviews.
And we had no idea.
Yeah, I know. Who saw that coming? I mean, like, how was that response for you from the public? I mean, what was that like?
You know what? I was largely protected from that. I just went back to school and back to West Auckland, and wow, life continued as normal. And then it was released in 84. Probably, obviously, I did a bit of, I did some press and blah, 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 but really it didn't impact on me that much. The bullying at school started, but that's normal. Good old New Zealand, tall poppy, smack it off your pedestal. And so in some ways it actually wasn't very pleasant for me, and it put me off. It did put me off acting for a while, because I didn't get any props for it. I just got abused for it, quite frankly.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, it was. But, I mean, that's life. Everyone gets teased or bullied for something, right?
Yeah,
and that was just my thing.
Yeah.
And I had really good friends, and so that was fine. And I was always adamant. Vince used to laugh at me because from the time I could speak, I was going to be a nurse. Everyone would come, people in the industry would say to me, oh, you're going to continue with acting? And I'd be like, nope, I'm going to be a nurse. And I never became a nurse, although I did become a healthcare worker, so I managed to get there eventually. So for me, I was largely protected, I think, from it. I just sort of dipped in and out for what I needed to do for publicity, but I wasn't really that involved.
Yeah, I like the fact that you were actually protected around that time from that. And I'm also heartened to know that you did go on to some other acting roles. I remember you vividly from Jane Campion's An Angel at My Table. And there were some other things that you did, including a sci-fi film, I understand. But once you moved to Australia, how did you feel about continuing with acting?
You know, I just 21, took off, didn't really have any plans, had a suitcase and $500. And
oh, go girl, yeah.
Yeah, I know, really clueless. And I went to stay with my best friend who lived on the Gold Coast for sort of 6 months, and I ended up staying 2 years. And there wasn't really much industry going on there at that time, unless you wanted to work at Movie World with a, animal costume stuck on your head. So I just worked in the surf industry, which I loved. And then in 95, I went to Sydney for a year before going to London. I just never left Sydney. So by the time I got to Sydney, where there was more of an acting scene, I didn't really have the interest anymore. Real life just travels along there, various careers, get married, get divorced, go traveling, do all those things, real life, And I didn't really miss it. I probably missed the creativity, but I didn't. I wasn't desperate for it. Yeah,
I understand that. What have you gone on to do with your life, Fiona? Everyone wants to know. What happened to Fiona Kay?
Yes, funny, isn't it? What did happen? So in the last 15 years, I fell into healthcare. So I was never a nurse, but I ended up in the hospital system, administration, not medical, and I worked my way up and I ended up becoming one of the executive managers at a public hospital, the executive administrator.
Wow.
And I was really proud of that job and very proud of my hospital. And then hello, COVID. So once COVID hit, like most healthcare workers, whether you're in management or not, it wrecked people and it wrecked me. So in 2021, when everything was still going on, I'd always been interested in spirituality and all forms that had sort of, I'd done various things over the years, but never seriously. I'd sort of dabbled a lot. And for me, the biggest thing that has come up in my life is mediumship. I'm a medium. And in 2021, I just couldn't, it just became a calling and I couldn't ignore it any longer. So I went back into really serious study. I've had some wonderful mentors, and in 2023, I quit my job to become a full-time medium, and I'm an intuitive card reader as well. So pretty different.
Yeah.
But I will say, when I sat this morning having my coffee and thinking about my acting career, as short as it was, there was something, you know how they say that like actors inhabit characters?
Yes.
And I think it's actually the opposite. I think it's the complete opposite. I think the character inhabits the actor. And when I am working as a medium, or even when I'm working clairvoyantly and doing card readings, the spirit world inhabits me. So when I'm speaking to people in the spirit world, they go through me. I feel their emotions, I feel their memories, I see their memories, and they talk through me, and that for me is like acting.
I can see the connection. Wow, that's a really, really cool analogy and explanation of the process that you go through. Oh, I really want you to do my tarot cards. I'm really intrigued now. I'm getting tingles down my spine.
My favourite thing is to do a combination reading. We do half reading the cards, which is me just reading your soul. My tagline is Storyteller of the Soul. So my soul connects to your soul, and we see the possibilities which are coming from your soul. They're not coming from me, they're coming from you. And then halfway we switch over to the spirit world, and we just see, I call it the cocktail party. You invite all your loved ones on the other side to show up, and we see who shows up. And then we just have a chat. And it's lovely, and it's the loveliest thing I can do with my life. I work as a healer in both respects, and that's a real privilege. So I never became a nurse, but I still became a healer.
And if you don't mind me saying, you're an amazing storyteller as well, and I can see how that's crossed from your early days of being an actress to actually into telling the stories that you help to heal people now. You're fantastic at telling stories, Fiona.
Thank you. I still write. That's probably the one thing that I've kept from that time in film is I kind of switched a bit to writing. So I still write, which is a lovely creative outlet for me.
Mm. Yeah, me too. We have, can you believe it's been 40 years since Vigil was released?
No, I can't. And I do. It's funny, I say it's lost in the midst of time, but when I really sat down this morning and thought about it, like I have very strong memories. You know, that crew was very much family to me. I was really safe, like I was so safe. They were beautiful to me. Mm. And I have lovely, lovely memories at that time. And actually one of my funniest memories, it's going to sound odd, but because I was raised by a solo parent mum who had no money, none at all, we really struggled, and my pocket money was 50 cents, but often that 50 cents didn't show up because she just didn't have the money. And on Vigil, we had one day off. It was Friday, and John Maynard, the producer, he said to me, come and see me on Friday and you're going to have some pocket money. And I was so excited. I was like, finally, pocket money's going to show up. So every Friday morning, poor guy would show up at his house at 7 a.m. for my pocket money, and he gave me $15 a week. Can you believe it?
Oh my
Coming
goodness.
From 50 cents to $15 a week. And it's so silly, but it's like one of those, his generosity and his delight in watching me not only act, but also just have this kind of wonderful experience on set and be so loved and so cared for. Like they were gorgeous to me. I was so lucky.
Aww. That's a lovely story. And you're going to be reunited with John Maynard for this 40th anniversary screening of Vigil, which I'm really excited about. We've made it possible for both you and John to join us at the Embassy Theatre in Wellington via live link from Sydney. Vincent will be there in person, and so will some members of cast and crew that are gathering. But I'm just so excited that we'll have you and John together with Vincent. The combination of the three of you is actually just going to be really fantastic to talk about the film. And the audience will, of course, also have the opportunity to talk and ask questions as well. And I think it's going to be a really fantastic and quite magical evening.
Oh, it feels wonderful. And I haven't been together with my boys, as I call them, for at least 10 years. I think the last time we got together to do an interview. So it will be really nice to link up again and spend some time.
Yeah, fantastic. I'm just going to encourage our listeners to book tickets. So we're screening the 40th anniversary of Vigil at the Embassy Theatre in Wellington on the night of Tuesday, the 19th of November. Tickets are on sale through Humanitix. Fiona, it's been an absolute delight to talk to you today. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me and to share your stories.
Oh, Jane, thank you so much. And thank you for screening Vigil. I'm so excited, and I'm so proud of that film, and the fact that it's still so highly regarded in New Zealand is just lovely. You know, the spirit lives on, and I'm really pleased.
Fantastic. I'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.